We've got Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com joining us now here on Bullseye in the Afternoon. Scott, thank you for giving us some of your time as always. And we've got to start with the quarterbacks, my man, because when we take a look at all the signal callers in this year's draft, it just seems like there are so many experts that are so divided on the top few guys on this list. A lot of guys climbing the board very, very quickly, but this time of the year, as we mentioned, there's always a lot of posturing, hard to know what teams are really thinking and what things, what might transpire. If you're to put together your top four quarterbacks, who would be on your board of your top four?
Yeah, and quarterbacks are really the key to any draft, and the reason you see so many teams linked to quarterbacks here during this silly season is teams are kind of chumming the water, trying to elicit trade offers or at least lead everyone to believe they're interested in one of these quarterbacks, and maybe they'll get some trade offers. So there's a lot of that going on right now leading up to the draft. But for me personally, the only quarterback I gave a first-round grade to this year is DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame, and I put him in the same category as Paxton Lynch from Memphis a year ago, who wound up being a late first-round pick to the Broncos, in that he has all the tools you look for in a top-10 overall pick at quarterback. He's just probably a year away. And then after that, I have a drop-off. And then I think in that next tier, you have Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina, Deshaun Watson from Clemson, Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech, and even Davis Webb from California kind of jockeying for position. But ultimately, I think Trubisky is going to be the first signal caller off the board. I think the Browns at number 12 overall make a lot of sense for him. But at this point, I only see room in the first round for one quarterback. Now, I think we're going to have some trades where teams trade up from the top of the second round into the back end of round one for a signal caller. But if I were putting the over-under on quarterbacks that go in round one this year, I would probably put it at 2.5. And this class really reminds me of 2014 when we had Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Savage, A.J. McCarron. And it's similar in that there's, A, no consensus in the order. If you have five different people, you're probably going to get five different answers. And it's also similar in that I think we could end up seeing the best quarterback in this draft be the fifth quarterback off the board in the second round. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these quarterbacks play out. And as I'm trying to figure out my final mock draft for next week, it's like putting together a puzzle. Once you have the borders, you can kind of fill in the rest. Tell me where the quarterbacks are going to go, and I can kind of fill in the rest of the picture. But that's always the key, is figuring out where to put the quarterbacks.
Scott, you mentioned you thought DeShone Kizer was one of the best quarterbacks in this draft. His own coach, Brian Kelly, was vocal on where he thought he stood as far as the NFL draft, saying that he thought he needed one more year in college. Do you think that holds him back at all as teams are looking at him?
I don't think so, because he's stating the obvious. I think he agreed. I would agree. I'm a fan of his. I agree. I think everyone would agree. And that's one of the things that makes this quarterback class so tough, is a couple of the top guys. Kizer came out as a redshirt sophomore, just 2 years of starting experience. Mitchell Trubisky came out as a junior, just one season of starting experience. So that's a position where usually you want more reps than less. So that really is a big complicating factor in the whole thing. But ultimately, I don't think Coach Kelly said anything that the scouts and league personnel didn't already know. Now, if he's not giving him good reviews behind the scenes when they ask about him, that could be an issue, sure. And that could definitely hurt him. And I do think Kizer is going to fall. And I talked about that 2014 class where I think an argument can be made Derek Carr is the best quarterback to come out of the draft. He was the fourth off the board in the second round. I could see DeShone Kizer coming off the board in round two and wind up being the best of the bunch, especially if he lands with in a good spot like maybe New Orleans with Sean Payton or Arizona with Bruce Arians.
We're talking with Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com. We are 8 days away from the 2017 NFL Draft. Sticking with the signal callers for another second here, Scott, it's interesting because, again, as you mentioned, this is kind of the silly season. You're not quite sure what to believe when team executives come out and say what they say right now. What do you say the chances are that Trubisky lasts all the way to number 12, given that there are a lot of teams between 1 and 12 that certainly could use a quarterback?
I think it's very possible. I really do. And even at that point, he'd be a little bit of a reach. I have a similar grade on him to what I had on Blake Bortles, very late round one, early to mid-second round. And, of course, Bortles wound up going number 3 overall, and the jury is still kind of out there. But crazier things have certainly happened in the draft than Trubisky going in the top 10 to a team like the 49ers at number 2. They've been linked to him. The Jets at number 6, they've been linked to him. Even the Bills at 10. So there are potential landing spots, but I just think when push comes to shove, this run's going to start a little bit later because there's so many good other good players at other positions, and there's going to be options. The Niners know that, well, if we don't take a quarterback at 2, we don't have to reach for a player there, and then we can still get one of these guys at 34. And maybe we can trade up a little bit. So I think that's going to play into the thought process. And what the real question mark is after Trubisky goes up the board at 12, if that's what happens, then if you're a quarterback in this draft, you get scared because your future is very much up in the air. You could be in for a long slide, theoretically, all the way to the second round, but unless somebody does trade up. So, and then what if, for some reason, the Browns didn't take Trubisky? I wouldn't completely rule that out because we all thought they were going to use a top pick last year on a quarterback. They waited till the end of the third round and chose a guy who most viewed as more of a career backup. So maybe the Browns are looking at one of the great quarterbacks in next year's draft, whether it be Sam Darnold from USC or Josh Rosen from UCLA or Josh Allen from Wyoming, and saying, we like one of them. We're just going to take the best player available at 12, and maybe they don't view a quarterback as their top priority. So there's still a lot of moving parts in this thing, and the only certainty right now with this draft is that Myles Garrett, the defensive end from Texas A&M, is going number 1.
Yeah, I think regardless of what you hear, he's going to go number 1. The Browns can entertain all the offers they want for that first overall pick, but it really seems to me like they're going to take him. I mean, they actually had a press conference today where they said they've received some calls about that number 1 overall pick, but I don't think they're going to trade it. Now, along those same lines, Scott, based on what you just mentioned, I know that if you were in their shoes, I don't think you'd take Trubisky at number 12 overall. You'd probably wait until the first pick of the second round to take a quarterback. Do you think that's what the Browns are going to do, though? You think that they would take the chance of not taking their guy there and waiting until the second round?
It's possible. And I guess it depends if Trubisky is their guy, because I think he's the guy who, if you were to poll teams, he'd get the most first-place votes. It wouldn't be a consensus, but I think the teams in need of quarterbacks, they do like him. So if that's their guy, they probably need to pull the trigger at number 12. And as I said, there's no guarantee that he'll even be around that long. But if they like anybody basically from the next group, I think they're all going to be available late in the first round. And you mentioned they got the first pick around 2 at 33, but they also have a ton of other premium assets in the draft in terms of first, second, third round picks. Not only this year, but next year, the year after, they've been compiling all these assets. I think they have 3 second-round picks next year. They could throw one of those to a team to move up a half a dozen spots to the back end of round 1 and get the number 2 quarterback off the board. So I guess it depends how much of a drop-off they think there is between Trubisky and the next guy on the board. And personally, he's not even my favorite, and I'm not even sure he's my second favorite quarterback in this draft if I had to take one. So if I were the Browns, I would definitely be waiting because there are going to be some really good players there at number 12. And I feel pretty confident when I say that Mitchell Trubisky will not be the best player on the board at number 12. But that's a bit of a misnomer, too, around the league. What best player available really means is best player available at a position of need.
As you bring that up, Scott, it's been interesting that Brock Osweiler is now practicing with the team. Should we be looking at that as a possible fact that, look, they're not necessarily looking quarterback 12, or do you not worry about that?
I mean, I don't think he's going to factor in their long-term decision-making, but I think he could end up being part of their team this upcoming season because I think they made that deal with the intention that they'd be able to flip him, but I don't think they're going to find any takers unless they're willing to eat the whole contract. So at this point, it looks like Brock Osweiler is going to be a part of the Browns this upcoming season, but it's not going to affect their plans at all. Sure. And I do think they will draft a quarterback, whether it's at 12 or 33. I do think they'll bring in a signal caller. But I thought the same thing last year. I was pretty flabbergasted when they waited till the end of round 3 to take Cody Kessler, who I had a late round grade on. And lo and behold, they're still in the market for a quarterback. So with this new regime, they are obviously taking a very long-term view. And by the way, they're trading picks and trading down and stockpiling future assets. So I don't think it's a given that they won't kick the can down the road one more year, especially when the options at quarterback are so much more intriguing next year. If you take Trubisky at number 12 this year, you're pretty much out of the quarterback derby a year from now, and I'm not sure you want to be out of that quarterback derby. You better really like Trubisky or one of these other guys if you're going to take yourself out of that quarterback derby for 2018.
We're talking with Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, looking at running back, Scott, it looks like a pair could go in the first round this year, but you haven't seen many running backs go in the first round the last couple of years. You think this kind of trend is based on the talent that's currently available in this class, or do you think it might be a result of the change in philosophy in the NFL?
I think it's definitely a combination. And a couple of years ago when Todd Gurley was coming out, he wound up going in the top 10 overall, I said he's going to be a litmus test. And if he succeeds, it could rejuvenate the value of the running back position. Teams might be more willing to make investments there early in the draft. And if he struggles, it might kill it for good. And sure enough, Gurley had a good rookie season. The very next year, Ezekiel Elliott went in the top 5 overall. And now we have Leonard Fournette from LSU come along, who's a freak of nature. I think he is truly an elite prospect at that position, as close as you're going to get to a Adrian Peterson in terms of that freakish blend of size, speed, and power. And he's going to be a top 5, top 10 overall pick. And then I think the second runner off the board is going to be Christian McCaffrey from Stanford, maybe at number 8 overall to the Carolina Panthers, but somewhere in that top 20 for sure. And then Dalvin Cook from Florida State, I think he still ends up being a first-round pick, but he could slide a little bit, especially if he gets past the Buccaneers at number 19. But, a few years ago we were wondering, are we ever going to see a running back go in the first round again? But I think the success of guys like Gurley and Elliott have made teams feel a lot better about making that type of investment. And I think we're going to see that going forward, too. And if Joe Mixon from Oklahoma didn't have that off-the-field issue, we'd have 4 running backs in the first round, and Mixon would probably be number 2 on the board.
Scott, we appreciate you coming on and joining us. You're a very, very busy man this time of the year. Before we cut you loose, when is that final mock draft going to be released?
Yeah, absolutely. I got my final rankings will be released Monday next week, and then my final mock draft will be out Thursday, the day of the draft. I usually pull an all-nighter getting that ready, so look out for that.
We will definitely be looking out for that. You can find it on DraftCountdown.com. Scott, thank you again for your time. We appreciate you coming on, and we hope you're able to get at least a little bit of sleep heading into next Thursday.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All righty. That's Scott Wright of DraftCountdown.com talking some NFL draft with us here on Bullseye in the Afternoon.